This is The Pulse. I'm Mike and Scott, and our show today is about technology and medicine. A couple of years ago, I went to see a physical therapist after a car accident, mostly for neck pain, and he gave me a couple of exercises to do at home, just stretch my neck, basically. It was simple, it didn't hurt, and yet I found myself not doing these exercises at all. And then when I went back to the physical therapist, I lied about it. Sorry, Mark. But he probably knew that, because guess what? A lot of people don't do their home therapy exercises, even more so when the routine is difficult for them or it causes pain. And that can really impact recovery, especially after something major like a stroke. So would people do better if physical therapy was more engaging? Todd Bookman takes a look at a different approach.
So this is what popular video games sound like. Okay, compare that with what a game designed for stroke rehabilitation sounds like. Dr. Judy Deutsch will tell you it's not really a fair comparison.
You'd think this game might be really boring for a young kid. It wasn't designed for a young kid.
Deutsch is a professor at Rutgers University, where she researches how video games may be able to improve physical therapy outcomes. For instance, on the screen right now is a game she and a team of coders developed called V-Step. It uses the Microsoft Kinect motion sensor and camera, a $100 piece of hardware, to detect where the player's body is in the room. Deutsch watches a 77-year-old woman named Maria, who has limited use of her right arm and leg, try it out.
So she's slow to move. She's a little bit uncoordinated. And she really presents with some of the movement problems that are very specific to what some of these games were developed for.
To play the game, Maria looks up at a screen, which has either blue or red blocks popping up randomly. Her job is to virtually step on them with the correct foot. It's a bit like the arcade game Dance Dance Revolution, but with no music or flashing lights. As she slowly, slowly works her way through the level, Maria is walking, kicking, or mimicking stair climbing, the same movement she would do in traditional physical therapy. Except there's a score being kept. And for whatever reason, that seems to make it less boring.
But I think it's more than not be boring. You want it to be meaningful, because if exercise is just at the level of the muscle and it's a repetitive nothing, nothing will transfer to real-world action. So you want it to be engaging your cognition as well as your movement.
There's growing scientific evidence suggesting that these types of games, what are sometimes called serious games, may work, that they can get someone to put in more time and effort by breaking up the monotony, by getting people more engaged. What Judy Deutsch calls flow.
In other words, when you play the game, you're feeling it. You're in the zone.
The kind of zone you could get into playing, say, Wii Tennis. There was a lot of excitement over the rehab possibilities for Nintendo's gaming system when it first came out in 2006. But off-the-shelf games can prove too difficult, too distracting for people with limited cognitive or physical abilities. We're going to jump about 90 miles south now to a lab on Drexel University's campus in Philadelphia. Professor Paul Diefenbach, tall and skinny, is using his long arms to demonstrate the cardiovascular benefits of his serious game. This one is called Collect. You grab and kick at different floating shapes, balls, fruit, cats.
And I'm actually a little bit out of breath now from playing the game, which is what the goal is.
Diefenbach used to work with NASA on developing simulations for life inside the International Space Station. Those tools were sophisticated and priced out of reach for most university professors.
There had been similar technology I'd been working on 20 years ago, but it required $100,000 computers with $50,000 systems. Now that we can get systems in the $100 to $200 range, it's opened it up to everybody.
Diefenbach and his team at Drexel are developing a series of games for their new company, Enable Games. They're designed for kids and adults with lifelong conditions like cerebral palsy.
This is a very underserved population that we're dealing with. In addition to the physical and cognitive challenges that they have, they're very isolating conditions.
To help these users connect with each other, the games will have leaderboards and online messaging systems. And the whole idea here is that a physical therapist could assign a patient, say, 1 hour of gameplay a day to get their heart rate up and muscles moving. instead of other exercises they may not be all that inclined to do.
And yeah, a lot of what they have to do is at home. And if it's really something that they don't value or they're not invested in, it's not going to happen. It's, you know, the dog ate my homework.
Dr. Maggie O'Neill has heard all the excuses during her 30 years of pediatric physical therapy. She's also a professor at Drexel doing research on patient outcomes. Since the games collect data, not just how many lemons you grab, but also detailed information about how many degrees you flex your elbow, she can track progress over time. But there's another metric that's a little harder to predict.
Are you going to make money off this?
I don't know. Maybe. That's not the primary goal, but it wouldn't hurt.
It would be helpful if Enable Games or Rutgers V-Step make money, because that's really the only way anyone will ever get to use the technology. Again, Paul Diefenbach.
If it was going to be just a university project, it would live and die in the university, as I've seen so many projects do. So it was really important for me that we commercialize this to actually get it into the hands of the people that need it.
And keep those hands and arms and legs moving during longer and hopefully more fun, less serious rehab sessions. For The Pulse, I'm Todd Bookman.